Thank you guys for being in here. This was kind of one of those classes that kind of fell. Somebody asked if I do the short straw. Kind of fell to me because the area of pornography addiction, sexual addiction is stuff that within my ministry, working with teenagers and also young adults, that I end up dealing with quite a bit. And so as I'd been to a workshop done by a website called XXXChurch.com that y'all are going to hear some about. I don't know if you've seen that website or not. But after seeing that, I said, man, we need to do that on men's retreat. And some of the issue that was brought up as well, yeah, but everybody doesn't need that. And some people get offended by talking about that. And so my response to that was, well, then we ought to do some breakout classes or something and let it be an option. And that was just a conversation I had with Rick, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago. And then when the flyer came out for men's retreat, I saw that I was teaching this class. So we never talked about that again, but I'm glad to do that. Not only because of people that have been involved in my ministry and that I'm personally involved with, but also as just a struggling Christian man, have had to struggle with the issues of pornography, masturbation and stuff in my own life. And so my style is, I'm going to be blatantly honest with you. We are going to record this, and oh well, you know, the Lord will know what we're trying to get accomplished. To show you just a little bit of being bluntly honest and stuff like that, we wanted to show you a commercial off of XXXChurch.com about pornography that will kind of open up our class. XXXChurch.com is what they say, the number one Christian porn site. They try to advertise through things like that that are a little bit controversial, but to get attention to their website. From the guys that I've dealt with that have struggled with pornography, XXXChurch.com is one of the best resources you could ever have. And so I know some of you may be in here because you've got a friend or a family member that you're trying to help with this problem and trying to help hold accountable. It's a great resource, and I'm going to share some other resources with you as well. But those two guys that do XXXChurch.com are pastors. They were recently on Good Morning America. They've been on Larry King. They've been on 700 Club. And they've got a message about helping rescue people from sexual addiction. And I think it's a great message. Before we go any further, pray with me, please. Let's ask God to bless this time. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the time that you've given us this morning. I thank you for these men and for their desire to live lives sold out for you. God, we know that Satan is active in this world and that there's nothing he would rather do than to pull us away from purity and from the integrity that you want us to have. And so, God, we thank you for allowing us to talk about a subject that isn't talked about at church much. And, God, that we may open some doors to talk about some things in the future with friends and with men within this room that would be life-changing. God, we know ultimately that if we talk about freedom from sexual addiction, that you're the only one that offers that freedom. So, God, would we pursue you and would our hearts pursue you today to look for your answers in our lives. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Two questions that are very common that I hear in these circles of talking about lust and sexual addiction. One comes from kids, which is one reason why we show that video, but it's, why does my dad spend so much time on the computer? You know, the computer has completely changed the issue of pornography in our world. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but when I first got into youth ministry, I remember getting a phone call from a girl, this was back in the late 80s, that had just found, her dad was a deacon of our church, and she just found a stack of Penthouse magazines in his desk. That has changed to today's society, where it is, boy, my dad sure does spend a lot of time on the computer. My dad is up late at night working, and a lot of times that comes because dads are doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. Another question from wives is, what do I do when my husband stays up so late at night? And this one is always interesting to me, because I think sometimes we fall so much into Satan's trap, we don't realize how ridiculous we are about some things. But I've different people that may come to me for counseling that would say, well, my husband never comes to bed when I do. He's up late working on the computer, but he'll come in at 2 or 3 while I'm asleep and then want to have sex with me when he comes to bed. What's up with that? You know, well, what's up with that is he's up and he's looking at pornography. He's getting turned on by something that he's seeing, and then he goes to bed and wants to take it, act out on that with his wife. And, you know, I just feel like that's not what God expects from us as His men in our relationships with our kids or our wives. Look at some porno facts with me here that you may know or may not know. 720 million porn movies are in circulation today. 280 million porn sites on the computer. These are stats from Triple X Church. 30% of all unsolicited emails contain pornography. And so even if we're trying to stay pure, and at our church we've got a filter, you know, we know Big Brother's watching, Ted Sorrell's knows whatever's going on our computers, but that still doesn't keep me from getting unsolicited email about male enhancement, about, you know, that I'll get them from some lady saying, I want to talk to you, please email me, stuff like that. 30% of unsolicited emails contain pornography. And the porn business is a $10 billion industry this year alone. $10 billion. Closer to home, we can look at those statistics and say, yeah, but closer to home, 50% of the men at Promise Keepers had looked at porn the week before they went to Promise Keepers. And those are men that are wanting to do well and wanting to lead their families, half of them, and looked at pornography the week before. And 37% of pastors say they have a problem with pornography. 37%. Well, those statistics may not tell us, well, what's the real problem? 72% of the men who view pornography do so in order to masturbate. My own personal opinion, and I'll go back on some youth ministry stuff for you again. Years ago, and I see some of you guys that were on this retreat with me, we had a senior retreat where we had a time of confession at the end of a worship time where we just said, let's just throw out things you need prayer for. And it was amazing. These are our leaders. It was amazing the things that were confessed, but there was a lot of guys that were saying, well, I struggle with lust. Well, four or five that said they struggle with lust. And then there was one guy that in the midst of this confession time said, I struggle with the sexual sin of. I struggle with the sexual sin of. And this drug out about 5 minutes. I mean, and I knew what he was wanting to say. I wanted to say it with him. Finally, he said, I struggle with the sexual sin of masturbation. A senior guy in front of his peers, male and female, sharing that. Every guy that had said they struggle with lust or pornography meant the same thing. They just wouldn't say it. And I think as we talk about pornography and what it does, is that one of the biggest issues with what it does in our lives is it dangers intimacy. And it leads us into this false relationship that we can get sexual gratification in places that God doesn't desire for it to be. Wondering whether teaching masturbation is wrong or right, producing guilt. In my own life and with people that I've worked with, I don't have to tell them they should feel guilty for doing it because I feel like the Spirit does. And every teenager that's come to me for help, I've said, how do you feel after you masturbate? And they feel guilty. They feel bad. And my response to that is, well, if God wants you to do that, I don't think those feelings would accompany it. And so, is it a normal part of adolescence? Probably so. Do I want my sons to feel abnormal because they may experience that? No. But do I want them to pursue God's will for their life, and do I feel like it includes masturbation? No, I don't think it includes it. I think God has a greater design for us in our lives. So that's the problem to me, 72%. And then the next issue is 60% of parents don't know what their kids are doing on the computer. Okay, if there's if you go back to those statistics, there's 280 million porn sites, and 30% of unsolicited email contains pornography, and we don't know what our kids are doing on the computer. We're setting them up. We're setting them up to let Satan have his way with their sexual identity and with who they're going to be sexually. ABC News did a study on pornography's effect on adolescent boys, and they provided a rating scale from 0 to 5. 0 is curiosity. 1 is the pursuit of pornography. 2 is contact with it, where that first time you may, like with me, come in contact with pornography. 3 is that you become interested in it. 4 is that you arrange your schedule around getting pornography. Maybe that's that you get on the computer a certain time of day. Maybe that's that you wait until late at night. And 5 is any day isn't complete without it. Scale from 0 to 5. Here's the thing that makes pornography so dangerous, is that you can go from a 0 to a 5 in 3 days for adolescent boys. And any of you that have struggled with pornography know the quick hook addiction that there is to pornography. But that's the thing that makes it so dangerous, is that you can go from 0 to 5 in 3 days. You can go from being curious to your day not being complete without it in 3 days. And real strong evidence there. We've got a man at our church, I'm sure we have many men in our church that may have struggled with this, but one that's agreed today to come and share a testimony with you guys about his story and his struggle.
I've only given my testimony probably 3 or 4 times, and so I'm still not comfortable just saying it without reading it, so I'm hoping to get there. So I apologize for reading it, but I just hope that through this that you can see how God worked in my life and how He can do the same thing for you. And I just agree with everything that Buddy's been saying about surrender, because that is the key. My name is David J. Engel. I'm 36 years old. I've been married for 16 years. I have 3 sons, ages 12, 9, and 6. I have worked in the commercial HVAC market for the past 7 years. My story begins as far back as I can remember. I was sexually molested by a neighborhood girl at the age of 6 and by my cousin at the ages of 11 to 13 years old. At the time, I thought I was a willing participant, but I later discovered in life that I was being taken advantage of by this older girl and my older cousin. I was exposed to pornography and X-rated movies all before the age of 13. I'd had my first sexual encounter when I was 15, and I masturbated on a daily basis. I had had several girlfriends and was continually looking for opportunities to make out. I tell you these things not only to give you the history of my life, but to let you know how important it is to talk to your children and to know who they are spending their time with and what they are thinking. My family moved from Oklahoma to Texas when I was 15, before my junior year in high school. Upon arriving in Texas, we placed membership at the local Church of Christ, where I met my present wife. I immediately knew she was the girl I was going to marry and spend the rest of my life with. Yet Satan did not stop prodding me with the seemingly uncontrollable desire to have sex with anyone I could develop a relationship with. It became an obsession. I continually looked for opportunities to develop relationships with other girls I met, even though I was going steady with my present wife. My wife moved away to attend college, and I was left alone, and I wanted her back. So I convinced her to move back, and I asked her to marry me. She was totally unaware of my thoughts and actions concerning sex, pornography, and my desires to have sex with anyone. We were married in 1989, but even before our first anniversary, I had committed adultery and was looking for any opportunity to have sex, all behind her back. And then in 1992, after my son was born, it happened. I got hooked. I met someone at work who I thought I was in love with. If you have read Steve Farrar's Point Man, you know what I mean when I say I got hooked. I felt totally powerless in my attempts to stop this ongoing affair. Up to this point, all my sexual encounters had been only that, one-night stands, but this time it was different. I continued to live this lie, a double life. While at home, I was a father, a husband, active in church. And yet when I went to work on the night shift, I became someone else. But eventually, the secret side of this life, of my life, began to show at home, and my wife grew suspicious, and at last, the secret was out. I tried to end this adulterous relationship, and each time I ended it, it made the relationship even stronger, and I'd go back to this woman again. This vicious cycle went on for the next 6 months, and it became harder and harder to end it each time. My wife and I separated, and I moved in with a friend, and I continued to see this person until she was laid off from the place where we worked together. I was trying desperately to break this chain around my neck. I thought I had broken off the relationship for good, and I reunited with my wife after weeks of counseling. We redid our wedding vows, and we went on a cruise, but I continued to let my thoughts think about this other person, and I tried on several occasions to begin the relationship again. Yet during this time, I was back with my wife. This other woman had met someone else, and she ended our relationship. At the same time, I continued to search for other relationships at work, and at one time I had relationships going with three different women at the same time, in addition to my wife, and several one-night stands with other women. I changed professions in 1994 to become a police officer, and I continued to live this double life. And we had our second son in 1995. I soon became involved with another woman on a steady basis, and was mostly just for sex. By now, I had become very addicted, sexual addict. I kept lying and living this double life, unknown to my wife. At least I thought so. My wife loved our son so much that she had built this wall around herself, and she refused to acknowledge the truth about my lies. In September of 97, I had a one-night stand with a woman who had been separated or divorced and was living with so-called friends. All my previous relationships had been with single women, but this woman was the adulteress talked about in Psalms. One night she was driving home, and while on patrol, I happened to see her car, and I followed her home for about one block. And the people she was living with there outside were outside, so I just kept driving by. Well, little did I know that she was drunk, and they thought I had just followed her all the way home from the bar. Sure enough, they called internal affairs and reported what I had just done. When I was called in, I lied about even knowing this girl to hide my sin. Well, law enforcement, it only takes one lie to end your career. Even though later I admitted everything and I'd actually done nothing illegal, I had lied to try to hide my sin once again, and I was fired. At the same time, my wife discovered my other relationships, and by this time she had had enough, and I moved in with my sister. It's October, and I had just lost everything important to me in one day. My job and career had ended totally. My wife was filing for divorce. My sons were without their father, and all my friends and my family knew of my sin. It was at this point I realized I was in the bottom of the pit, and there was only one way out. With the help of my sister, I began to give myself totally to God, to surrender. I purchased a new Bible. I began to read the scriptures through tears daily and prayed for God's deliverance. I prayed to God for guidance in everything I did and said. God began to speak to me through my thoughts, and I obeyed His every command. I started listening to praise music. I met with our elders and told them of my sin. I got up in front of the entire congregation and confessed my sin. I went to my closest friends and prayed with them. I wanted desperately to break this chain of bondage that enslaved me totally. I was now wrecking my life, my wife's life, and my son's lives. I also knew that what I was doing was wrong, but I never had the power to overcome it alone. Once I received the Holy Spirit's power and received God's help and accountability and support from our brothers, I was able to start overcoming this sin. This all started when an old friend, a member of this church, invited me to his A-team, which met every Saturday morning. I told them my story. They immediately gathered around me. They put their hands on me. They prayed for my deliverance. And I have not missed a meeting since. It was that day I felt true peace, forgiveness, and assurance from God that no matter what happened to me, God was in control, and I was going to make it, married or not. But I continued to pray for my marriage and my wife, and I knew I had to prove I was a changed, new man through my actions only. My words would never be good enough. My best friend, who I prayed with, he got my foot in the door in the HVAC industry, and I was offered a normal 8-to-5 job, something I'd never had before. All my previous jobs were shift work. I'd sought counsel from a minister at my sister's church and found out they were starting a class for couples to help trace your past generations' patterns of behavior. I prayed as Jesus did that my wife would attend this class with me, and it was an absolute miracle that my wife agreed to go with me. With the help of this minister and his wife, he taught that class, my wife and I began a new life together. I moved back home in February, and we had our third son in October of 98, 1 year later after I had lost everything. God did not stop there with His blessings, which I attribute not only to my wife's forgiveness and my change of heart. I was able to move up quickly in this industry and have been blessed by working for a Christian boss and co-workers. We have a new home, and we have three strong, healthy, beautiful boys. I give God all the glory for these blessings. I've been very involved in our new church's men's ministry, Bible Hour, and life groups. I coach soccer. I'm a cub master. I no longer have those strong sexual desires because I have raised my desire to serve Christ to a new level and have kept it there. I never wanted to go back to that old man. My story ends good only because of God's mercy and love for me and the love He had for my wife and my sons, who I know God has big plans for in His kingdom. God's deliverance has given me an inner peace that is indescribable. And the best thing of all is the absence of fear in my life. I would also like to share just a real short story that did not end well. About 3 years ago, a friend I had worked with as a police officer was caught stealing money that had been found by a citizen. Police work was all that my friend knew. He knew he was going to be fired. And once you've been fired as a police officer, your career is over. You cannot work anywhere else as a policeman. That thought alone was more than he could handle. So one morning, he stuck a service revolver to his head, and he blew his brains out. I remember having one of those thoughts, those same exact thoughts, right before I was fired. And when I went to his funeral, and I shook the hand of the police chief, I just thanked God for His mercy and His strength that He gave me to take a different path. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, David, for sharing that with us. I don't know what we have in this room as far as guys that may be going, wow, what they're talking about isn't where I am. I'm just curious or struggle with lusting after another woman or something like that, to the folks that may be in the same pit that David is in. I know that in our church we have the full, both spectrums from one side to the other. And I'm really convinced that the power Satan has over us with sexual temptation and sin, his greatest power is secrecy. Because that's the thing about sexual sin is nobody else knows in our minds. It can just be our computer, or it could just be a phone call, or it could be meeting somebody else, and nobody else knows. And not knowing what David was going to say, I had heard a kind of a typical cycle of the Christian pornography addict, which is failure, repentance, you're okay for a while until you fail again, and then you repent again, and you're okay for a while, and the cycle just keeps going until you get caught. And when you get caught, then is when there's kind of that decision time. You know, I've had friends that have been school teachers and got caught looking at pornography in an off period at school and lost their job. Others that may have gotten caught in a relationship somewhere else. And I don't want to oversimplify the matter. If me talking to you about my personal testimony was just, well, that I decided I needed to put God first and it was all great. I'm not saying it's that simple. I'm not saying that it's something that's easy. I don't think anybody that is trying to pursue God that is caught in this cycle wants to be there. I seriously think that they're trying and they'll do good for a while and then we'll fail, and it's just this cycle that sometimes we just look up and we go, how do I get out? How do I get out? And so I know some of you may have great suggestions for this class time. We're going to bring to the table 7 things to get the problem under control. The first thing is decide you want to get better. I know that sounds simplistic, but we can do a lot of lip service to, boy, I don't want to do this, I feel bad. But until we truly decide that we want to get better, we're never going to get better. It took me having to decide, okay, this isn't right, I don't like the way I feel, and I'm finally going to do something about it instead of just giving it kind of a half effort. So the first thing that we have to do is decide that you want to get better. The second thing is to realize you're not strong enough to do this on your own. And that's where I really get to talking about the secrecy of it. we think it's a private matter, and so we'll deal with it privately. And willpower, and you just saying that you're going to do it on your own, isn't going to get it done. And that's where I firmly believe we've got to rely on the strength of God for it. Now, when I talk to teenagers about it, I'll say, when you pray and you're asking God for strength, ask God to help you not masturbate. And they're kind of like, you can't say that in a prayer. I'm like, you don't think God knows what you're doing anyway? You know, and we just generically say, God, help me with my struggles. No, get it out. Okay, your willpower is not going to do it. You're not strong enough to do it on your own. And I know I'm not a great small groups guy. Okay, and I know maybe a lot of y'all, whenever they get up and start talking about A-teams and stuff, you kind of tune that out. But I've got some people that I can go talk to that can help hold me accountable. David mentioned there's an A-team that meets at our church on Saturday mornings. What time, Danny?
7:30 a.m. Saturday mornings. We meet at the library. If we get more people, we move to another room.
And that's that group specifically deals with this issue, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
If you see me after this, I'll give you a card. You can come meet with us, and we deal specifically with accountability over sexual addiction, sexual purity issues.
So sexual purity, A-team, Saturday morning, 7:30 in the library. And, you know, for me, and I'm not going to say you got to go, you know, out into the country and beat on a drum with other men and stuff like that. For me, part of my accountability was my wife. She's my best friend. And yes, it was really awkward talking to her about it the first time, but it completely changed our relationship. And we share an intimacy now that was just forced and fake before I could be honest with her. And so realize you're not strong enough to do it on your own. Three is realize that just a little porn is not okay.
Right.
The guy that does Triple X Church talks about music and television being porn on training wheels. And, you know, if we think about, you know, my wife and I, and this was previous to my decision where I shared other things with her, but we made a decision not to see R-rated movies. My wife is... We have a real open relationship anyway, but I might go see a movie with my brother or something that might not even consciously, I wasn't even thinking about this, but that might have had a sex scene in it or something like that. And I'd come home and start getting romantic with Stacy, and she'd say, don't start getting romantic with me after you just saw what you just saw. Don't come home and try to act that out on me. You know, that wasn't something I was thinking about, but she could tell the difference based on the movies that I saw. And we just made the decision together, okay, we're not going to go see movies like that. And I ask teenagers all the time, because a lot of y'all grew up in my youth group, you know I could soapbox on this, and you turned me off now probably just like you did then. But I ask teenagers, make wise decisions about what you see. Make wise decisions about what you listen to. With the internet resources right now, PluggedIn.com. If you go on our youth website, we've got links for parents. You can look at reviews for every movie and tell you what sexual content is in it, what language is in it. Make a wise decision. It blows me away. I've got a friend that one time went to a movie and she goes, I was just so offended. I had got up and walked out. And I said, well, why did you go pay for that in the first place? Why didn't you? She goes, I didn't know it was going to be like that. We have no, as Christian dads, as Christian husbands, we have no excuse to make an uninformed decision now. And watch what, you know, if you know the times when you're going to stay up and watch television. Last night, I've been sick and I haven't been able to sleep. And so I'll go up and turn on the TV at 2 in the morning. I know what channels I don't even need to turn on, even though they're not pornography as such, but E! Channel or something with Howard Stern or that kind of stuff. I don't even go there. You know, I watched the Happy Days reunion that I had TiVo'd, okay? I've got to still be conscious about what I do in my downtime when nobody else is around with what I'm going to do. So, and I know I get ridiculed for this. I'm a Sports Illustrated addict. I'm one of the guys that will call Sports Illustrated and say, don't deliver the swimsuit issue. Because I know the thoughts that it put in my mind as a kid and as an adult. And before they gave you that option, when it would come, my wife would get it out of the mailbox. She'd throw it in the trash. And I hate to admit my weakness here, but I finally had to say, honey, don't just throw it in the trash. Go out and rip it up. Because if I'm going to let Satan rule, I'll probably go out there and get it out of the trash. Rip it up. And so, you know, Victoria's Secrets, the things we watch, the music we listen to, a little porn is not okay. It just opens the doors. Fourth thing, spend more time in God's Word and less time on the internet and watching TV. I think the internet is one of the hardest things, because the guys that I know that have really struggled with this, the internet just completely opens up a door. And you almost have to get to the point where you have to say, you know what, you may need to get the computer completely out of your house. Okay. Well, I can't do that. It's my job and this and that. I said, you know, do you want the computer or do you want your marriage? Do you want to live the way God wants you to live? And if that's too big of a temptation, get it out. Okay, so spending time in God's Word, just a few scriptures that I have that I think really have helped me and other people. Daniel 1, verse 8, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way." I use that verse because of the word, "but Daniel resolved." I'd ask you guys to resolve before God. You're not going to defile yourself this way. And it takes your commitment to say, you know what, I'm going to resolve before the Lord that I'm not going to do that. Job chapter 31, verse 1, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl." And that's a verse that in my own life I had to continue. If somebody would walk by, and I can remember years ago, Ashley and I worked out at Bally's together and played racquetball, and we'd jog on the upstairs track, and one day, as I didn't need to be there, probably a lady walked by or something, and as we were jogging, I did the head turn, and Ashley goes, "It's that second look that'll get you, Hatchet." Kind of giving me that warning. But I've had to make a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully. And I do that because of my wife. She's God's creation that God gave to me. And I don't need to disrespect her by even looking elsewhere. And so, like Job, I've made a covenant with my eyes. And then 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And that's one of the things we've told teenagers. Let's take every thought captive. Everything that comes into your mind, can you say, let Jesus have that thought? And you get rid of so many thoughts if you realize that Jesus can't be involved with them. And so we take every thought captive for Him. Other things, and this isn't on this list, but I was just thinking practically, I use the terminology that's used in every man's battle on bouncing your eyes. Practically, I use that terminology even that when Stacy and I were driving to downtown Dallas recently, and right as 35 joins in right towards downtown is like the Swedish Massage Institute billboard. And I'm like, "Bounce your eyes." And Stacy's like, "What'd you say?" I was like, "I'm bouncing my eyes. I don't need to see the Swedish Massage Institute over there." And so practical things, just in my own self-talk, bounce your eyes, take every thought captive. I've got a covenant with my eyes. If we're in God's Word and those things are in our head and in our heart, they'll come up and we can use them against Satan. Number five is have a plan for integrity and stick to it. If you don't have a plan, it's going to be harder for you to get rescued from what it is that you want to do. A couple of resources that I want to give you. Every Man's Battle Workshop. That web page is www.everymansbattle.com. And I was looking on their website. They have a men's workshop. It's 5 days. And that workshop is going to be in Bedford, April 6th through 10th. And so it's coming up. You register on their website, or you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register for that. I don't know the cost on that. On their website, they didn't have specific costs, but I know it is at least it's manageable, the cost of it, compared to a lot of other things. Involved in that, depending on your relationship with your spouse or things like that, Every Man's Battle also has a women's workshop that's a 2-day deal, and they also have a pastor or elder workshop that's 2 days, and that one's going to be in Bedford as well. So that's April 6th through 10th in Bedford. XXXChurch.com, I told you, I think it's a great website because it's technology friendly. I mean, these guys aren't just trying to do something that gets by. They're doing something that would attract you. They have a movie that's coming out that's a documentary called Missionary Positions. And it's a documentary. It's a documentary about the disgusting nature of the porn industry. And it's a documentary that a movie company did on these guys, because these guys will go to Vegas to the porn work convention every year, and they'll set up a booth right next to Hustler magazine or whatever and try to talk to people about getting rescued from pornography. And they have churches that will picket them outside the conference because of them being there. And they're like, well, what are you doing for people? And movies, I think it's probably going to get an R rating. We saw an advanced screening of it. It's interesting. But that commercial, the puppet deal that we did, was directed by a pornography director that offered to do it for them for free, because he said, we come from opposite sides of the fence on this deal. He said, but I've seen what pornography does to people, and I'd love to have, even though it would cost me my job, I'd love to see it changed. And there's a quote from him in this movie where he says he wishes his mind was like a computer hard drive and that he could erase it, because he has things in his mind from directing porno movies that will never get out of his head. Pretty strong stuff. And in fact, there's one scene in it where he's on set and they're doing a pornography deal, where it was this scene and they show this actress over throwing up in the corner. And he goes, see, that's what they do usually after every scene, but you don't see that in the movie, do you? And, it's an amazing thing. But XXX Church, one of the best things about that is they have X3 accountability software that's a free download. Now, XXX Church talks about they've had over 5 million hits on their website or something like that. 70,000 people have downloaded that accountability software. They talk about how a lot of people are curious, but not many people want accountability. And there's people in this room that are on that accountability software with me, and they set me up as their accountability partner, and every 2 weeks I get an email list of questionable websites they've been to. And yes, they can turn it off, but if they do, I get that in the report too. Okay, it says X3 disabled on at 11 o'clock, turned back on at 1 o'clock. And I've got a friend that I called because I said, hey, there's some questionable websites on here. My church blocker won't even let me go to them. And I don't know what that was. I had a nephew over here. Maybe he was doing it. The next month, I get it again. I call him back and he goes, you know what? I lied. I'm sorry. And I need your help. I mean, it's that type of accountability. You decide who it is. It's you deciding who you want to keep. I know people in here that have their wife's email on there. And every month, their wife gets their accountability report. Another thing is pureonline.com. And that's a $99 resource. And what that is a 30-day program to purity. And it's online. You can do it at your own time. And these Pure Online guys do a workshop like in Kentucky where you go and stay for 30 days. I mean, it's extensive intervention. But the thing about the web, this is a new web program that's $99, and I've heard great things about. So would point that out to you guys. So have a plan for integrity. Stick to it. 6, and we already kind of talked about this, don't go solo. You can't do it alone. Whether that's accountability software, whether that's talking to your spouse, a friend, whatever it is. My hope, and we've done this in our youth group, this has been a month or two ago, I put up the XXXChurch.com website in class and showed it to guys and said, go get help. And I had teenagers come and say, you know what? I'm so thankful you'd talk about that at church. My hope is that nothing is off limits for us to talk about as godly men of how we help each other. And so look around and hear A-teams, ministers. You can come and talk to us about anything. We'll try to help, and you won't get judgment. And that's why I think Satan wants us to think, well, I couldn't talk about this. He even would tell me, I mean, I was even thinking before I came in here, I can't tell these guys even some of my own story because I'm a minister, and they'll say, man, we don't want our kids in his youth group or whatever. Satan wants us to think we're alone, so don't go solo. And then the last thing, I just encourage you guys, if you do fail, get back up and try again. Don't have this plan and try to stick to it and fail and go, well, you know what, I'm just going to give up then. God loves you so much. You're so precious to Him. Jesus knows, Hebrews tells us, that we have a high priest that sympathizes with us in every way. Jesus knows every feeling that you're going through. And He doesn't give you judgment, but He gives you grace. And is He happy leaving us there? No, He's not. But He does understand. And He wants to call you to a higher level. So I just encourage you to live the lives that God's calling you to for your kids, for your spouse, for your future spouse. And I know that with God, putting God at the core of that, you can do it. And I just know that you can. So thank y'all.